Sic transit gloria mundi, thus passes the glory of the world. This Latin expression contains a timeless message and one that's ever more appropriate for us in 2025. The phrase was first used at the coronation of Pope Alexander V in Pisa on the 7th of July 1409, and it seems the practice of using these words continued up to the 1960s. During the ceremony, a monk holding a burning flax torch would approach the Pope three times, and he would whisper, "Pater Sancte, sic transit gloria mundi." Holy Father, thus passes the glory of the world. The ritual served as a sobering reminder that no matter how exalted the office, all worldly power is fleeting. These words carry the wisdom and the weight of centuries. In a world that's besotted by power and wealth and success, strong leaders, powerful nations, impressive buildings, unlimited extravagance, these words invite us all to see more clearly and to live more humbly. They remind us that we leave this world carrying as little as we did when we came into it. Sometimes in our fascination with power and glory, we're inclined to forget that although the ornamentation might be different, we all fit into the same size of container at the end of the day. You can't take it with you when you go. And as they say, there are no pockets in a shroud. The poet Shelley, who died just over 200 years ago, cautioned us about the false promise of earthly power with these words. "I met a traveller from an antique land who said, 2 vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on these lifeless things. And on the pedestal these words appear, 'My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair.' Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away." Ozymandias, a 2 centuries old lesson for our time, from Shelley. Its message, even the mightiest fall, always, the most glorious cities and powers, the pomp and the circumstance of empires, the self-importance, the self-confident utterings, they are all swallowed up by the relentless passage of time. The Voyager 1 spacecraft was launched by NASA in 1977. On Valentine's Day 1990, it sent back a photograph of a tiny dot suspended in a sunbeam. This was planet Earth as it appeared from a distance of 3.7 billion miles, or 6 billion kilometres. The photograph inspired the popular astronomer Carl Sagan to produce a book entitled The Pale Blue Dot. Referring to the Earth, he says, "On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives." He mentions how this place was home to every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader. He points out that every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived here on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Carl Sagan goes on, "Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Sic transit gloria mundi." How could any of us ever have imagined that even today, the centuries-old lesson issued to the popes of old, or even the 200-year-old lesson of Ozymandias, needs to be relearned? Over recent decades, we may have drifted into believing that the ages of empire were long past. I certainly believed it, and maybe you did too. In our innocence, we may have believed in the growing emergence of one united global community. What do we see? A rush for power. the unlawful taking of land, resources being held hostage, innocent people, men, women and babies starving and being shot as they clamour for food. Hospitals without medicine, those doctors and nurses who still survive, carrying out an impossible task in impossible circumstances. According to the Ministry of Health of the State of Palestine, at least 1,581 health workers have been killed in Gaza since the 7th of October 2023. And all the time, ever more sophisticated means of harming one another on a planet that's already threatened by our peacetime greed, never mind the economic and environmental impact of our wars. How can it have come to this? And how can we look on this and continue to allow it? Looking around, it's easy to fall into despair, and so many people have already lost heart and hope. But we mustn't give in. The idea that this too shall pass could lull us into passivity. We might ask, why bother? We might think, isn't it all a cycle? Won't it come to an end anyway? But that would be an unforgivable mistake. We know that everything changes, but since we know that, we know that we can help bring change about. We can work to end injustice, and we can strive to end suffering. We have seen how power and glory passes away. Now we have to help to hurry it along. And if everything is temporary, which we know it is, then what we do in this short life matters more than ever. Most of us would wish to do something about the horrors we are witnessing. But we wonder, can one person make a difference? Yes, each of us is only one person. But remember how one teenager in Sweden sat outside a parliament with a sign. She sparked a movement. She was just one person. One woman refused to move to the back of a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. She helped to change history. She was just one person too. All we are asked to do when faced with a situation such as the one we are in is to do something, anything, but not just look on or turn away. We can sign petitions. We can write to politicians and to the media. We can remind people of the horror. We can get out and protest. We can boycott goods coming from oppressive regimes. And of course we can contribute to charities helping to bring aid. Everything and anything we do will help. It will encourage other people, and it will send out ripples that will have an effect. Realise too that change sometimes comes about unexpectedly and against all the odds. Think of the fall of empires in the past, the fall of the Berlin Wall, the ending of apartheid. The Roman Empire fell. The British Empire broke apart. The Berlin Wall crumbled. Apartheid ended. In the pause for reflection, I mentioned the book by Omar El Akkad and the quote on its cover. This is the book here. One day, when it's safe, and there is no personal downside to calling a thing what it is, when it's too late to hold anyone accountable, everyone will have always been against this. Omar warns us, when it becomes convenient, everyone will claim that they opposed injustice. But he argues that the real moral reckoning must begin now, before it's too late. He tells us, silence is complicity. Truth and resistance are acts of conscience. The state of our world today is a call to action, an invitation to each one of us, in whatever way we can, to call out for a better way. It can be a simple but a public gesture, such as the notice that we have outside the church, on our website, and in our magazine. Justice demands that food, water and medical supplies are sent to Gaza now. We cannot say that loudly enough or often enough. When the history of this awful period comes to be written, let it be seen that we stood up, each and every one of us stood up for what is right. Amen.